Let us pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So as we look at the subject of hope, we turn to the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, chapter 6, verses 13 through 20. Let us listen together for God's word to us. When God made a promise to Abraham, because he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and multiply you. And thus Abraham, having patiently endured, obtained the promise. Human beings, of course, swear by someone greater than themselves, and an oath given as confirmation puts an end to all dispute. In the same way, when God desired to show even more clearly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it by an oath, so that through two unchangeable things in which it is impossible that God would prove false, we who have taken refuge might be strongly encouraged to seize the hope set before us. We have this hope, a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters the inner shrine behind the curtain, where Jesus, a forerunner on our behalf, has entered, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. My kids, all kids, love playing with bubbles. The best bubbles, if you have the right solution to blow bubbles with, they either make lots and lots of little bubbles or a few huge bubbles. And the better the solution, the better those bubbles hold together. And it is so amusing on a calm day when there's not a lot of wind to watch a child chase one of these giant bubbles all over the yard as it rises up and falls back down within reach and then rises up again. And if they do try to catch it, of course, what happens is it pops and they have a shower of bubble solution rain down on their face. Now, what I've just described is really only true of my youngest, who's now 4. My older kids are a little more jaded when it comes to bubbles. They know what happens when you touch a bubble with your hand. It pops. So they're under no illusion that they can actually catch a bubble. They just simply run around trying to destroy it. Right? To pop them as quickly as they possibly can. But not Reed, not my 4-year-old. He's convinced that even though the last one popped, this will be the one that I can grab and hold with my hands, and I can play with it, and I can keep it. So he chases that next bubble. Hope can be like bubbles. Hope can be entrancing and alluring. Hope can mostly be just out of our reach, vanishes just before we touch it. And if we do manage to catch it, we can hold it only for a few seconds. It only lasts a short time. Some hopes are big hopes, right? The hopes that we have for family, for career, for long-term health. Hopes for financial independence and stability. Hopes for a life of meaning and purpose. Hopes for happiness. These are the great big hopes that we pursue. But there are also lots and lots of little hopes too, right? And they're little, not in the sense that they are inconsequential. Some of them are, but many of them aren't. It's just they're limited in their scope. These are often the hopes that we have for very particular outcomes in life. We hope for good weather for this or that thing that we might have planned. I'm sure many of you hoped that Michigan would have done better in the NCAA basketball tournament. We hope that a project at work goes well. Every day when I drop my kids off at school, I hope that they have a good day, because there are so many things that can make a day go wrong for a young person. And whether they are big hopes or small hopes, all of these hopes are things that we are reaching for, things that we pray for, that we yearn for, that we aspire to. Something that is, at least at the moment, out of reach. And this is all okay. These are good hopes. Hopes are good things to have, good things to reach for, good things to strive for. In a way, that's the definition of hope, right? We don't hope for things that we already have. We hope for those things that we want that are still beyond our reach. But hope comes with a big drawback. Sometimes, often, almost always, that bubble pops, right? Hope fails. We get a shower of soapy water, right? We get disappointment instead of what we were looking for. Sometimes we get an unexpected diagnosis. Sometimes in our great excitement and eagerness to start a family, we get the inability to have children. It might be the loss of a job or the complete missing of an opportunity in our career. It could be the rupture of a relationship, whether it's in the family or in a friendship or a marriage. It could be succumbing to an addiction and facing a lifetime of a battle against this addiction. It could be losing a loved one before their time. This list, you know, goes on and on. I have only scratched the surface of the kinds of disappointments that we experience in life. Now, we can absorb a certain amount of disappointment in life, right? Like a child convinced they can hold on to a bubble, a few of them can pop, and they'll still try, but eventually they start to catch on. And eventually they just settle for popping them instead of trying to hold them. We can absorb a certain amount of disappointment, but we have our limits. Some hopes are too big to give up on. And when those hopes fail, or when the little hopes, they fail time and again, over and over, then we experience more than just disappointment. Theologian Paul Tillich calls that experience existential disappointment. And he defines it this way: it is a disappointment which penetrates into a person's very existence. In a word, despair. Now, you probably think the next thing that I'm going to do is to tell you the right thing for us to place our hope in. If you'll let me continue the analogy of bubbles, the right bubble, the one that won't pop, the one we can actually grab hold of and keep. Now, there's no doubt that there are better and worse hopes, right? Better and worse things to place our hope in, better and worse things to be pursuing. But the problem is not that we have been looking around at all of these bubbles and we have just been grabbing at the wrong one. The problem is more fundamental than that. In Hebrews it says, we have this hope, a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. I learned this verse as a child. It was a memory verse for me one summer at a camp in the mountains of Southern California. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul. And maybe there was a song that went along with it. That could be why it has stuck in my memory all these years. It's such an evocative idea. It's such a concise statement of what hope is. And I knew I wanted it to be a part of this series on hope, but I had never spent time with this verse. I'd never thought hard about it until now. And what's most interesting to me about this perspective on hope is that hope is not, in the way it's presented by the book of Hebrews, hope is not an outcome. It's not even a really good outcome, not even a divine outcome. The hope in the book of Hebrews enters the inner shrine. The hope becomes a high priest. Now, this is a little obscure. If you're not reading the whole book of Hebrews, you don't understand these images that the author is working with, like the high priesthood and Melchizedek and all of these strange ideas. But the point of this is clear. Our hope is not an outcome. Our hope is a person. Jesus. Our hope is not in that person. Our hope is that person. Now, this is an important distinction. To place our hope in something requires a kind of moral effort on our part, right? It's up to us. It's something that we reach for, and that reaching takes effort. And as I said before, there are plenty of things in life that are worth reaching for, worthy of putting our hope in, worth making that moral effort to try to grasp. But if Christian hope is hope in Jesus, then it is only available to those who are willing and able to make that moral effort, to reach out. Then hope is available, and only then. This would mean that Jesus is, among so many other hopes, the right one, the right bubble, the one that won't pop, the one that we can hold, the one that we can grab. But the problem of hope is not that we are going after the wrong bubble. The problem of hope is more fundamental, more foundational. Christian hope is not one hope among so many others that we might otherwise reach for. As if our task is to will ourselves not to reach for these other hopes, but instead to reach for this one. Christian hope is not even a great big hope, a transcendent hope, like an umbrella hope. And if you grab for that hope, then you get all the rest as well. Christian hope is not hope in something. Christian hope is someone, a very particular someone. Christian hope is the one who entered the inner shrine, who broke down the barriers between humanity and God that religion had constructed, the one who in his life revealed to us the very character of God, the one who became God with us, God among us and around us and in us. Christian hope is not something up here that we reach for, that we try to grasp, that we try to bring down and hold and keep. Christian hope is the very ground that we stand on. It's the firm foundation that enables us to reach for all of these other things. Christian hope is the sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. When Paul Tillich speaks of existential disappointment, he's talking about what happens when our lives are built on the wrong foundation, when we give our faith over to the wrong things, when we devote ourselves to what basically amount to idols. For Tillich, the essence of God is the ground of being. That's how Tillich speaks of and defines God, the ground of being, the ground we stand on, the foundation, the sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. Christian hope is the ground that we stand on. But one last thing needs to be said. It's important. We have to talk about the shape of that hope. It's not enough, I don't think, for the preacher to just say God is the foundation of our hope. We stand on the foundation of God. That seems a little bit too abstract. We need something more concrete, don't we? Some clearer idea, something to sink our teeth into so that we can understand what is this hope that is our foundation. What is the shape of this ground that we stand on? And Hebrews has the answer. Hebrews says the unchangeable character of God's purpose. That's the foundation. That is our hope. That is the ground on which we stand. Jesus is that hope. He is a representative of that unchangeable purpose of God. He's an ambassador of that purpose. He is the one who shows that purpose to us more clearly than anyone else. And God's purpose, in the language of Jesus, is the kingdom. It's the kingdom. It's the lowly lifted up. It's debts forgiven. It's prisoners set free. It's the lame leaping, the blind seeing, the mute shouting for joy. It is our hearts transformed, and it is this world made new. That is the unchangeable purpose of God. That purpose never changes. This is what God is always, always up to. We have this hope, a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. An anchor is a tether. An anchor holds a ship. in place. And an anchor of the soul holds us in place. And instead of allowing us to chase hopes that lead us away from this world, away from concern for this world, this anchor keeps us tethered to the world. It keeps us locked into our pursuit of the kingdom of God. It keeps us rooted in the unchangeable purpose of the unchangeable character of God's purpose. Like those bubbles, hopes will come and go. Some of those hopes will be realized, and some of them will be dashed. These ups and downs, these are real. This is the stuff life is made of. They are grievous and they are joyous. But no matter what happens, no matter what comes, no matter what hopes we pursue, we stand on solid ground. We are rooted in the unchangeable character of God's purpose. We have this hope, a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. Let us pray. God, keep us rooted in your unchangeable purpose, in your kingdom, in your ministry of love and grace and compassion and service. Keep us rooted in your unchangeable purpose. And as we stand on that firm ground, may we recognize the hope upon which we stand, the hope that never goes away, the hope that enables all other hopes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.